You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stephen Powell, Sean Quinn and Ross Briley in the studio. We've got Brighton, Fakenham and Sedgefield on Tuesday afternoon. Catrick and Exeter provide the action in the evening. We've also got an evening of racing over in Ireland from Ballinrobe as well. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me is Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, very well, Mark. And yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good.
Coming off the back of a pretty good weekend of racing, all in all.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, was it? No, we saw some top class racing from Newmarket in particular. It was good weekend for racing fans.
It was. We're going to look back at some of that and head to a little bit that's coming up next week by answering the questions in the Racing Post Monday jury. And the first question is, bar Glen Eagles, what else from the 2000 Guineas caught your eye for future big race success this year?
Well, I suppose the second horse, Territories, ran a huge race, didn't he? And you'd imagine there'll be plenty of big race opportunities for him back home in France. And Ivorwood, who finished third, he raced up the middle and proved that he stays a mile. So it'll be interesting to see which way the connections now go with Ivorwood, whether they keep him at a mile or whether they do choose to drop him back to six furlongs and look at something like the Commonwealth Cup at the Royal Meeting.
Yeah, what would you do if it was yours?
I think he's got an awful lot of speed. I think the six furlongs at Ascot, a stiff six, would suit him. So I'd be probably toying with the idea of dropping him back for the Commonwealth Cup.
Okay, I suppose we probably should talk about Glen Eagles as well. What did you make of his performance? It was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very, very good, and you know, it stamped him as the class miler of his generation. It was a wide open looking 2000 Guineas going into the race, but I think there can be no doubt coming out of the race that he is definitely the best 3-year-old miler of his generation, and he looks set for a very good season and further top flight successes.
Yeah, Ryan Moore was on board Glen Eagles. He was also on board the filly that won the 1,000 Guineas in Legatissimo. What did you make of her?
She was good. She always looked like she was going to get up and master Lucida. They pulled well clear of the rest of the field. Tiggy Wiggy, of course, ran a cracking race to finish third. But Legatissimo, she was the subject of support, wasn't she, in the over the last week? And confidence was obviously growing around her all the time. I see she's very short in the betting for the Oaks, but rightly so. She looks like the step up in trip will really suit her well, and you'd have to have her at the very top of your shortlist for the Oaks, wouldn't you?
Yeah, she's 9-2, second favourite for the Oaks, behind Found, who runs on Monday, so we'll get a little bit more of an idea about her then. Do you see her stepping with regards to the 1,000 Guineas winner? Ryan Moore voiced a few concerns about her stamina. Do you think she'd get it yourself?
I think she'll get a mile and a quarter, no problem. And now whether she gets a mile and a half remains to be seen. But certainly if she does, then she's going to be very, very hard to beat. But as I say, it may just prove that a mile and a quarter is her best trip in time.
And while we're on the subject of trips, Tiggy Wiggy ran an absolute blinder to say that she's probably best at shorter trips. Would you drop her back if she was yours yourself?
Yeah, I definitely would, and I think connections are going to do that now, which seems wise. She's all speed, and the great thing for connections with Tiggy Wiggy is she looks like she's trained on. You know, not all good two-year-olds do train on, particularly ones that have been quite precocious. Let's not forget she ran in the first two-year-old race of the year last year at Kempton. And bolted in, but she lasted all season, and she's gone on from 2 to 3 and looks every bit as good as she did last year. So back at six furlongs, I think she's going to be a very, very tough filly to beat.
Yeah, I agree. The third question is, did we see the next winner of the Gold Cup in the Cigarro Stakes?
Well, I think it's a very open year, isn't it, for the Gold Cup, and Mizu looks to be a fast improving horse. But I like Forgotten Rules for the Gold Cup this year. I think he looked a real class act last year. I think he'll be prepped to perfection for the day by his master trainer, Dermot Weld.
Okay, fourth question is Ascot Winnalimato unbeatable in the Commonwealth Cup?
He's certainly not unbeatable. You know, we've already touched on Ivorwood and Tiggy Wiggy being possibles for that race. Throw in the likes of Hootenanny, who might travel over from Wesley Ward's stable in America. I certainly don't think he's unbeatable. I think he's very, very good, and I think the Commonwealth Cup would looks tailor-made for Lamato. He looked good at Ascot last week. He was a very, very good two-year-old, and I think he's going to figure very highly amongst his peers in the sprint division this year, but he's certainly not unbeatable. No horse is unbeatable.
No, he just showed that he's trained on and he's got a great chance, really, didn't he?
Yeah, that's it. It proved his well-being. As you say, he's trained on. So he's a big player in the Commonwealth Cup, but it's looking like a fascinating race. It's going to be a very good addition to the Royal Meeting, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
should be a cracker. The penultimate question, give us one who might have gone under the radar, who has really impressed you lately?
Quite a tricky question. I'd probably throw forward a horse of Tim Easterby's, who won a maiden at Ripon, not last Saturday, but the Saturday before. His name's Accessible, and he bolted up by four lengths. We know who Ripon is, a track that Tim likes to introduce his better two-year-olds at. He's run a number of good two-year-olds at the track, first time up down the years, and Accessible looks like a big player in all the early season two-year-old races. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up at York next week at the Dante meeting for that five furlong novice race, which is scheduled to take place there. That looks like it'll be tailor-made for him, and of course York just down the road from Tim Easterby's base.
Yeah, he's having a good time of things, Tim Easterby, isn't he? He had a very big price treble last week, and he's also running quite well, so yeah.
Yeah, they've really hit their straps the last few weeks. Probably a yard to keep on side on the whole.
Final question then. Who is your idea of the Chester Cup winner? We do have betting on site as well, so I'll give you a quick spin through that. Quick Jack is 11-2 at the top of the market. 8-1 for Angel Gabriel and Gabriel's King. 10-1 for Altiel. Trip to Paris is 10s as well with Zephyan. 12-1 for Buthalazy. Mabaratsa is also 12s with my mate Chris, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Nice easy question to finish for you, Sean.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's unoriginal, but I really like Quick Jack. He ran a cracker when last seen in the county hurdle. When last seen on the flat, he was of course third in the Cesarowicz. He's got a decent draw. He's drawn in single figures, which is important, of course, in the Chester Cup. And he's got a master on his back in Richard Hughes. I think he's going to be very, very tough to beat.
Right, let's move on, unless there's anything else in the news that's caught your eye, Sean?
No, I think we're all good to move on and take a look at some of tomorrow's racing.
Right, Tuesday's racing it is then. Sean's got four races picked out for us, and we'll get his best bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
The first race we're going to look at on Tuesday is the 3:40 at Sedgefield, which is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over 2¾ miles. We have 11 of them in the lineup for this one. Sean, in my eye, was drawn to Kyle's Faith, who won pretty easily last time.
Yeah, he won very nicely last time out, and he's going to be the likely favourite here for Martin Keithley and Conor Schumach. I think he's got to go on the shortlist. But I think this is quite a wide-open competitive race. Two horses that I had towards the top of my shortlist were Malcolm Jefferson's horse, Cape York, who was a winner two starts back at Wetherby off a mark of 109. He's only £5 higher on 114. A horse that might be a bit of a price here is Imperial Vic for trainer Harriet Bethel. Jonathan England's doing the steering. This horse was rated 137 at his peak, and has slipped a good way in the ratings to now be running off a mark of 106. He didn't run too badly when third just over 4 weeks ago. That hinted at a return to something like not his best, but something like decent form. And I throw him into the mix. Hounds Court, Joe Foster's charge, likes it here. Was a winner here three starts back, so I wouldn't discount that horse either. And as you say, Kyle's Faith, a winner last time out, has to go on the shortlist. But I'd probably, at the likely prices, play Imperial Vic each way in this one.
Imperial Vic each way for Sean in the first race then. Next race we look at is the 420 at Brighton. This is a Class 3 Fillies handicap of the extended mile and one furlong. It's almost a mile and a quarter. It's for four-year-olds and older. We have eight of them in the lineup here, Sean, including last year's winner Boonga Rugetta, who proved herself to be in good form with a win at Chelmsford last time.
Yeah, she won really well last time out, but stuck on well to beat Sabarasi by a neck. Was a big price, 25-1 that day. Maybe surprised one or two people. And as you said, was a winner of this race last year under Rosie Jessop, who takes the ride again. So there are a lot of positives surrounding Boonga Rugetta. I like Puzzle Time in this one, though. Giles Bravery's filly. He's gone to the trouble of booking Richard Hughes to take the ride. She ran a really good race last time out at Ripon when finishing second in a competitive Class 3 event won by David O'Mara's Chancery. There were a string of good horses in behind Puzzle Time. That was an open handicap. Now racing back against her own sex. She's got a lot going for her here, Puzzle Time. Others to consider would be the likes of Elberith, Tears of the Sun, who was second last time out, and Lady Marl, who was a winner at Lingfield last time out. But Puzzle Time is the one for me.
The 450 at Brighton is a Class 4 handicap over five furlongs. We've got the speedsters in action here, Sean. Seven of them in the lineup. Which ones do you like?
Flying Bear ran well to finish fourth at Ripon last time out in an apprentice's handicap. Freddie Talicki takes the ride this afternoon on Jeremy Gask's charge, and I'd consider him a major player, along with John Gallagher's horse I See Mist, who was third behind Divine last time out in a decent race at Windsor, a 0-90. This, of course, a slightly easier race, so a dropping class for I See Mist. Extra Solar, Amanda Perrott's horse, was down the field behind Humidor last time out at Goodwood in a more competitive race than this. Missed the break. If he can get away slightly better, then he'd be a player as well. But I'll probably go with John Gallagher's charge, I See Mist, who, as I say, ran a good race behind Divine at Windsor and takes a slight drop in class here.
The final race we look at is the 720 at Exeter, which is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles and seven furlongs. This one almost 3 miles. We have nine of them in the lineup here, Sean. And Risk of Fine is likely to be somewhere near the top of the betting. Seems to be well found in the market more often than not, but hasn't been winning of late.
No, hasn't been winning and can race quite keenly. Raced very keenly last time out, Mark, over 2.5 miles. So I just wouldn't be absolutely certain that the step up to near 3 miles on a stiff track like Exeter is going to play to Risk of Fine's strengths. As you say, he's often short enough in the betting, so we might try and find something to take him on with here. Just looking at horses that we can maybe take him on with. Well, Paul Nichols has got more bucks. Who's likely to get involved. This horse was third behind Dynamite last time out in a novice's hurdle at Taunton. Takes a market step up in trip, and I think that'll suit more bucks. So I'd throw that horse into the mix, along with Tara Tavey, who has been in real good form despite her age of 10. Was second behind Sandy Now here at Exeter over this trip last time out. So we know this trip and track pose no fears to Tara Tavey. And another one I'd mention is Weather Babe. If he's tuned up on his first start for David Piper after 257 days off the track, but I'd imagine he will be fairly well tuned up. Tom Scudamore rides the other horse in the race, Houston Dynamo, but the Houston Dynamo for me is handicapped to the hilt, and Weather Babe might be more interesting if he's tuned up. But I think I'll probably play more bucks in this race. Paul Nichols' charge taking the step up in trip.
More bucks for Sean in that one. Let's have a quick summary then, Sean, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yep, sure thing. In the first of our four races, the 340 from Sedgefield, I'm going to side with Imperial Vic each way. We then go to Brighton for their 420, a Phillies handicap. I'm very keen on Puzzle Time for Giles Bravery and Richard Hughes. She'd probably be the nap of the day. Then in the 450 at Brighton, a sprint handicap. I'm going to side with I See Mist for John Gallagher. She ran a good race last time out at Windsor when finishing third. And then finally, we go to Exeter for their 720, a 2 mile, 7.5 furlong handicap hurdle, a wide open race. I'm going to side with more bucks for Paul Nichols and Sam Twiston Davis. This horse is taking a step up in trip this evening, which I think will suit down to the ground.
Superb. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's racing. He'll be in the studio with Stephen Powell and Ross Brierley. We have the meetings at Brighton, Fakenham and Sedgefield in the afternoon, Catterick and Exeter in the evening on these shores. And we also have racing over in Ireland on Tuesday evening from Ballinrobe. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.